Okay.
Praise the Lord. This is fairly warm, considering Friday, Saturday is in the teens. I think today it's probably 40s already, hit towards 50s. And praise God, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Glad I'm saved. Amen.
Yes.
We're back in Proverbs chapter 14. I think we actually stopped on verse 14. And I'll reread that verse. The backslider in heart. And that's pretty clear that backsliding starts in the heart. And from the heart, said he'd be filled with his own ways. He starts, instead of going God's way, he starts looking for opportunities to go his way. Frank Sinatra, a statement of rebellion, said, "And I did it my way." And a lot of people, they don't want God's will in their life. They don't want to live God's way. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If it was warm outside, there'd be people riding motorcycles today. They'd be towing boats today. They'd be doing things today, you know, that would be connected to pleasure. And they've made Sunday into fun day. One of these days, Jesus is going to show up. Boy, it's going to be embarrassing.
Amen.
When he does.
That's right.
Because he's going to come. Matter of fact, Peter said the day of the Lord will come. That's in the affirmative. And just with that in mind, I sure would like to be in the house of God on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And I'll explain that here in a minute. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter said, "But the day of the Lord will come." When I mentioned about on the Lord's day, John exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he couldn't be in church, but he said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, he didn't say Sabbath, he said on the Lord's day.
Yes.
And that's a big difference there. John was a Jew, and now he's not paying as much attention to the Sabbath day. He's paying attention to the Lord's day. But the backslider in heart, he's going to be where he wants to be. And if it's not in the house of God, the Bible said, Jesus said he had somewhat against one church there in Revelations because they'd left their first love. Their first love was God.
Yes.
They loved to sing God's songs. They loved to hear God's word. And now they're somewhere else. Jesus said to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And a lot of people could fit that category. I love the Lord.
Amen.
Now I look forward to going to church on Sunday. And I look forward to hearing people testify about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. I love to hear people sing about Him. I love to hear people preach about Him. Man, I just want to be where He is. And we may not always be able to be in the house of God. I was listening to the radio this morning, and it talked about China had come up with a means to detect the activity of Christians and to be able to find where they're at and to catch them. And they're doing a pretty good job there over in China. They're burning churches and putting the people in prison. But that's coming here. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
That John said even now, he said it's in the world. And that spirit of Antichrist, it's never going to be satisfied. That's another reason that backslider in heart, that spirit of Antichrist tries to get people out of church. Hold on there a second. May not be able to find that. We talk about that spirit of Antichrist even now. It's in the world. And that spirit of Antichrist causes a lot of people, like Demas, to go out into the world, leave the house of God, leave the fellowship, leave the work of God.
I think it's in Revelations too, ain't
it? I know it's in 1 John. Mm-hmm. This might be it here. Let's see here. But that spirit of Antichrist, I'm pretty sure it's in 1 John. Right off the top of my head, I can't find it. But that spirit of Antichrist, it's in the world. And it takes its toll on children of God.
Go to verse 15. No, wait a minute. 18 of chapter 1. Or 2, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2.
Yeah, there it is. Little children, it's the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Then he talks about they went out from us. Mm-hmm. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And that backslider in heart, he seeks for a way to get out of church. He seeks for an excuse, for an opportunity. And
you didn't read verse 22 of that same.
Let's see here.
Chapter 2, verse 22.
Who is a liar, but he denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And you know the Jehovah's Witness. My brother-in-law is a Jehovah's Witness. He said, we worship Jehovah.
Yeah.
They don't have enough sense to know that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And he said, I do always the will of my Father.
Yeah.
And he said, God's a spirit. No one's at any time seen God. But Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. But they just can't receive that.
No.
And that spirit of Antichrist, it ensnares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the latter part of that verse says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. And that means he's going to do right. And when he don't do right, he's going to do what he ought to do, say, Lord, I messed up again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, repentance is something I do a lot of. Lord, I forgot to bless my food, and I bow my head, even though I've done took a bite. So, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to bless my food. I ask you to bless this day and be a blessing to me today. Let me be a blessing to you today. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. He'll seek to do right, he'll pursue it, and he'll do it. A good man will.
Amen.
Jesus said, a good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of an evil heart bringeth forth evil things. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. He'll do good. Jesus went about doing good. And that's what we ought to seek to do. That's our reasonable service. To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by the renewing of our mind. We may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. A good man will seek to do that. Verse 15, which is really our first verse of today. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Jesus talked about how the simple are deceived. One way to put some light to this is in Acts 17 there. Those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, mm-hmm. in that they received the Word of God. Acts 17:11. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily where those things were sold. And some people, they'll believe anything, and some people will check it out. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If you be my disciples, continue my word, and you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free." John 8:31-32. But the simple, they don't question anything. The simple, well, all I know is this way we've always done it. They don't question anything. But the prudent man, he looks well to his going. He makes sure. You know, the Bible, I need to throw that in here, I guess, talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves.
Right.
Whether you be in Christ, or whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know, that prudent man, he looks well to what he's believed. Here's another good scripture here that's on my mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about till we all come to the unity of the faith. You see, this Bible, it's like a compass. It points to Christ. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. And unity speaks of one. E pluribus unum means out of many one. Well, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm in Ephesians 4:13, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And we need to be careful. Jesus, one thing He says, take heed no man deceive you. But if we're not careful, we'll be like the simple. We'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
But you know, Brother Eddie, you read there what Paul said about examine yourself.
Yeah,
when we really and truly examine ourselves, then we have to start saying, "Lord, I'm sorry." It's a bad thing when you examine yourself and say, "Oh, Lord, you know, I could have done this, I could have done that."
Another thing about the prudent man, Paul and Peter, they were somewhat in disagreement, and Paul confronted Peter to his face because he had withdrew himself from the Gentiles when the Jews showed up, and he confronted him to his face because he needed it. But then here Peter writing about Paul, and he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "...and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." And that prudent man, he looks well to his goal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't leave anything to change. I'll tell y'all right now. If there's one thing that I want to be sure of, it's I want to be sure that I am where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not only saved, but I want to be in the will of God. I want to be a blessing. Let me see if I can find this scripture. It just came to my mind real quick. Let's see.
14:16 Proverbs.
Okay.
That's not... I thought I knew where this was. Let me see if I can look this up. We're not going to get very far in this lesson if I don't get on with it. But I'd like to tie this verse in here with this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I can quote the verse. Paul said, "Work out your own salvation." through fear and trembling.
Right.
And you know, you got to work at that thing. You can't leave it to chance. You got to, you know, put precept upon precept, line upon line. The Bible's like a puzzle. You got to put it together.
Right.
And the more you put it together, the more sense it makes. Let me see if I can find this here. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, but not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And that's one thing you don't want to leave to chance. You know, I've tried to preach the truth. I try to tell the truth.
Right.
But I'll tell you what is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth."
Amen.
Not only is the word of God truth, but Jesus is truth. John 14:6, He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me." That prudent man looked well to his going. On down here just a little bit, verse 25, it says, "A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." A lot of people don't realize that they're speaking lies, but a prudent man will search it out. He'll study it out, and he'll make sure. I don't know how many times I've been wrong, but I'll tell you what, the Word of God straightened me out every single time. I don't know how many times I've had to raise my hand and say, "Lord, I am so sorry. I thought I was right." But I'll tell you what, like Paul said, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture?" Verse 16, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." That's the problem today, is we don't have no fear of God. And when I say that, you can look over here in Romans, and they don't teach the fear of God in our schools no more.
No.
They did when I was in there.
Yes, sir.
And it caused me, I might have still messed up, but it caused me to think twice before it did.
Yeah.
But they don't do it now. Well, I can find Romans. Here we go. It says in Romans chapter number 3, verse number 18, "There's no fear of God." Notice this. "Before their eyes," someone took it out. In our schools, when I was in school, I'm 66, but when I was in school, Elden Smith read the Bible over the intercom
Right. Every
school day morning. Mm-hmm. He prayed over us every school day morning.
Right.
Then we would say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we would also read the Ten Commandments. They were hanging right there on the classroom wall. And someone thought that's smarter than God, and thought, you know, we don't need that. It's going to mess our children up. I'll tell you what, I don't know how you can mess children up no more messed up than they are right now.
Well, that's the truth.
I didn't get to go up there at the Capitol because my truck broke down. My truck quit running Monday, and I finally got it back running Friday. But they're trying to pass a House bill, where Nancy Pelosi is over the House, House Bill 296 requires sex education to be taught in all grades. It'll be a required thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Now, you stop and think about how poisonous that is.
Yeah.
House Bill 22, they want less discipline in the school.
Yeah.
House Bill 87, public and home schools will be required to graduate to fill out a request for a student loan. There's some good bills in here, too, but I want to read a few of them just so you know. Our country's in trouble.
Yes.
And the reason our country's in trouble is just what verse 16 says. "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." They're promoting evil. Not only are they promoting evil, they're making exemptions. A man robbed a bank and bragged they just going to let me back out. I think he robbed about 5 banks. They just let him right back out. He thought it was kind of funny. But a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is content. There's some people you can't talk to them.
Right.
They get mad. Their wives are afraid of them. I used to be one of them. I know all about it. And they think, you know, that they can just make a big enough scene that people leave them alone, and they're a fool. I was a fool. And I'd rage. And I'd be confident that, you know, that nobody could get through to me, that they think twice about witnessing to me or talking to me or asking me to go to church or anything like that. Verse 17, he that's soon angry, and I have a chip on my shoulder, he that's soon angry dealeth foolishly. I did that. I caused a lot of harm, a lot of havoc. I tore cars up. I tore house up. And I made mess at work, mess at home. But he that's soon angry dealeth foolishly. I didn't behave in the right way. You know, I found out since I got saved that instead of getting mad, you can just kind of laugh at it and say, well, it could have been worse. Or you can laugh at it and say, well, that's the last time I do that. I mean, you can react in so many different ways other than angry. But anger was the way I chose to deal with things. And he that's soon angry dealeth foolishly. I made a fool of myself. I really did. And the latter part of that verse, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know, he picks on people. He'll find someone that's timid. He'll find someone that they won't knock him out, and he'll make jokes about them pick on them, kind of like a bully.
Yeah.
And he'll be hated. A man of wicked devices, he'll find means to pull jokes. I remember one guy at work, he'd rig this cup of water up, and when he'd open the door, the cup of water would drop on your head, and that was funny. I mean, everybody's laughing, it ain't like you're going to do anything, but you know, that guy that got wet, he didn't appreciate that. And they'd rig up all kind of things like that, and we had all kind of devices like that. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly. They're the ones that the jokes are made about. They won't defend themselves. They just kind of allow it. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now you let somebody that knows what they're doing, his reputation, it's kind of a crown. You know, I'll tell you what, you take that guy right there, he can fix it. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll just brag on a guy who fixed my son's car yesterday with Donnie. He took two transmissions out, put one in for $400. I was bragging about the price, but I was also bragging about the good job that he done. He had a good price, good job, and a good Christian man. I bragged about him all the way around. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. He had the means, time, and at a real good price, he done that. And I praise God for him. He's a good Christian man. Verse 19, the evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And one day they will bow.
Yeah.
They might not right now, but they will.
They will.
And the wicked at the gates of the righteous, they won't get to go in, but they will bow. I've met people who said, no way I'm ever going to bow. I said, oh yeah. Yeah, you will, buddy.
Every knee.
Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. I said, you'll be glad to bow. You're going to hope that by bowing, you're going to somehow escape what you're going to be doomed to have to suffer eternity in the flames of hell. But you'll be willing to bow. You'll be glad to bow. But it'll be too late to bow. I'm glad I bowed this side of eternity. But on the other side of eternity, there'll be a great crowd. Let me take just a minute here. Every kindred, tongue, nation,
yes,
people that were successful. They said Michael Bloomberg, I think he's got like $60 billion. I mean, people that were successful, people that were famous. I think about that Kobe Bryant. And I don't know, I'm not saying anything other than the fact, you know, he probably didn't think about dying on that Sunday morning with his daughter. But people that were famous, people that were successful, people that were prominent, you know, they had servants that waited on them, they'll find out on that day, they'll bow. They'll bow before him because he's worthy. They'll bow before Him and they'll be willing to do it. They're going to hope that somehow it'll make a difference in the consequences of their judgment, but it won't.
That's right.
The consequences of judgment's on this side. I mean, the whosoever can come on this side, but there ain't no one on the other side that can gain by bowing. They're bowing because they should have bowed. They're bowing because they're going to bow one way or another. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to bow to the world or to the wickedness of the world or to the music of the world. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I bowed to Jesus, amen.
That's right.
But the evil, they're going to bow before the good and the wicked. They got their boast here. They've got, you know, they're successful here. A lot of rock and roll singers, they make a deal with the devil to be successful, and they're serious about it. It's not a joke. And a lot of them that are successful have made a pact with the devil. The devil was over the music of heaven, and it seems to work to their advantage, but they all die.
Yeah.
And they die young.
Yeah.
And they die terrible deaths. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Verse 20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor because he doesn't have anything to offer.
Right.
His neighbor says he ain't no count. He ain't got nothing. You know, he'd be better off, be dead or whatever. I'm preaching on the poor today, so keep that in mind.
Amen.
But the poor, he's hated even of his own neighbor. Jesus, though he is rich, he became poor for our sakes, that through his poverty we might be made rich. And they hated him without a cause. So they're going to hate you without a cause. Now, if you got something to benefit them, they say, I tell you, boy, I love it. I love it, Bonnie. Man, I can go over there and she'll give me a 20. Mow her yard or get her mail. You see, they're profited off of it. But if they went over to get Bonnie's mail and she didn't have a penny to give, they said, well, I'll tell you what, I went and got her mail. She didn't give me nothing.
Yeah.
Knowing her, she'd probably give them a gospel tract or something, you know what I mean? But you know what? They're hated of their neighbor, the poor is. And like I said, we're preaching on the poor today. I'm looking forward to preaching today. Lord stirred my heart about this message tonight. Man, I got blessed just thinking about it.
I wear rags down here, but I got riches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're not
we might be poor here, but praise God, we're going to be rich there.
Yeah, we are.
The latter part of this verse. But the rich have many friends. You remember that? That prodigal son in Luke 15? When the money was gone, the friends were gone.
That's right.
But as long as he had money.
Yeah.
Man, I can just see all the parties he throwed.
Yeah, boy.
Man, all the friends. We just love him. And when the money's gone, the friends is gone. And no man cared for his soul. And here he was feeding swine. And, you know, it's a sad place for a Jewish boy to be. But, you know, the rich have many friends as long as they got money. But when the money's gone, the friends are gone.
Yeah.
And they kind of use them. But the poor is hated even of his own neighbor.
Yeah.
Let's go here, verse number 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. You remember Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself?
Right.
And, you know, the Lord, He promoted love.
Yeah.
I'd give anything to be able to love like the Lord does. He loves all with an unconditional, unending, undying love. And we're kind of in the category. We love those that love us. I hate to say it, but that's about the truth of it. And He loved those that hated Him. He loved those that despised Him. He prayed for them when he's dying on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. That kind of love, boys, we have more of in this world.
Right.
I was telling Brother Ed before y'all got here, a little six-year-old girl playing in her front yard hadn't done nothing wrong.
Right.
And the neighbor abducted her. And I don't want to go into details, but they found her dead and they found him dead.
Yeah.
And sad. But Jesus, He loves us, and He don't want us to despise our neighbor. He wants to love our neighbor. And some people, you got to be a certain kind for them to love you. I mean, you got to be a Muslim to be loved by a Muslim. Hey, I was listening to the radio this morning, and one way the Muslims protest is by burning American flags and Israel flags. And well, since they got President Trump in office, they can't get no more Israel flags, so they got a factory over there just to make American flags and Israeli flags so they can burn them. I mean, a factory just to make flags so they can protest and burn them. And that's what you call hatred, huh?
Yeah, boy, it's hatred.
Well, I tell you what, somebody was smart making money off of that hatred, and they're supplying the flags, and they're glad to burn them.
Mm-hmm.
But he that despiseth his neighbor, you know those Palestinians, they're neighbors to Israel, and they despise them. They hate them. And to them, they'll see they're doing no wrong.
No, that's right.
And the Jews, they don't shoot no missiles. They just defend themselves. Right. But there's a never-ending barrage of missiles fired at Israel. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. We'll be preaching again along those lines today. You know, God wants us to have mercy.
Yeah.
He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5. And mercy is something we could all have.
Right.
It don't cost anything to have mercy.
Right.
Just some people choose not to have any.
Right.
That neighbor didn't have no mercy on that little 6-year-old girl. He should have. And he could have. We hear the aftermath of it. We think, how could somebody do that? I'll tell you how they do it. They was raised wrong.
Don't have God in their life.
Right, Sharon's right. You know, that boy there could have been raised in church, mm-hmm. could have got to know the love of God, could have got to know the mercy of God, the compassion of God, and the grace of God. And you know what? He could have been a friend of that little girl.
Yeah.
But he is full of the world, full of the devil. And you know, one thing the devil will cause you to do is want something that's not yours, want something that you can't have, want something so bad that you're willing to kill to obtain it.
Right.
Cain, the Bible said, he killed his own brother because he was of that wicked one.
Mm-hmm.
He gave place to the devil and he became the first murderer.
Yeah.
And this guy here, he just done the same thing.
Yeah.
Through the same means, gave place to the devil. Happy is he that has mercy on the poor. Verse 22, do they not err that devise evil? You know, some people, they think that by whatever means it takes, they're going to be rich.
All right.
They just caught a man, I think he's 78 years old, that had something like $6 million worth of marijuana in a greenhouse. And he's not concerned about anything except getting ahead. That's just the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, they're talking about investing in the marijuana market. They legalized it. That'd be, I just couldn't do it. I mean, for conscience sake, I couldn't do it. It'd be like me giving money to Planned Parenthood to murder babies.
Mm-hmm.
For conscience sake, I couldn't do it. There's just some things I can't do. I'd rather have a clean conscience.
Right.
I'll just tell you right now. But some people, they err. They don't care about the conscience. They don't care about who overdoses or who ends up dying. They just want, you know, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Well, that's kind of the mind they've got. All they want to do is get ahead, and they want to kind of like that at a man in Luke 12. Say thy soul, so thou hast much good lived for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. Next verse 20. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But verse 22, do they not err that devise evil? They don't think like you and me. Somebody killed a 17-year-old girl, stabbed her. And MS-13, they take machetes and just
cut them up.
Mutilate people. women down in Mexico right now are protesting because a picture got out about a young girl that her boyfriend skinned her alive. And the picture got out. And they said, enough. And they're throwing red paint on the doors of the court. And they're setting the doors of the court on fire. You know, I'm glad that they've had enough.
That's right.
But I'm just telling you, evil is pursued by some people. It wasn't the fact that he just killed this young girl. He went so far as to skin her. That just tells me that evil. That's I can't. My mind can't go there. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. You know. It's just as easy to do good
as
it is to do evil. Why in the world do we have such a hard time?
That's true. Yeah.
Valentine's Day. That's probably when he killed her. I don't know. I just got bits and pieces of it. But he didn't just kill her. He mutilated her body. And that's just pure evil. That's got to be out of the pits of hell. I mean, Satan's the only one I know that could come up with that kind of evil wickedness to do something like that. And some of the other pictures of this woman's body got out. And these women of Mexico seen it. And brother, they're not happy. That's what all that protest is going on down in Mexico right now. But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Oh, I'd rather have mercy and truth in my home than have evil in my home. Verse 23, in all labor there's profit. Now, you can get a job, you can work, and you can make money, or you can rob banks, or you can rob houses, you can steal cars. In all labor there's profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I had to look up that word. Anybody got a clue what that word means? It means excessive poverty. That's what it means. I looked it up because I didn't have a clue. Penury or penury means excessive poverty. But in all labor there's profit. Look, you don't have to make $25 an hour working at the Corvette plant. You can make $10 an hour. You can flip hamburgers. But that's the right kind of labor. Some people, they don't want to work. And they want somehow to have the means to do whatever, whenever, however they want to. And they'll stop at nothing to do it. And what would you call it? You're lambs. They're wolves.
Right.
They'll take what you got.
Mm-hmm.
One of them illegal aliens robbed a 91-year-old woman, raped her and killed her. I'm just telling you, there's just not no profit in some things. So the devil. My mind can't go there. Bible said, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, God loved his son. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. And then you read over in Genesis chapter 6 and it says God was grieved that he even made man. And I tell you what, buddy, because the thoughts of man's heart was on the evil continually. And man was just doing wickedly. And the man that God had made, God said, I'm going to destroy man. But Noah found grace. And all men like can be like Noah. They can find grace. They pursue evil, and evil comes with a price. It comes with consequences. I tell you what, the end of sin is death. I don't know what verse I was in. I think it may have been verse 23. In all labor there's profit. Choose wisely. Pursue it. Do it. Bible said, whatsoever your hand find to do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Act like you're working for Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm going to work today. And, you know, that's a good spirit to go to work in. Just say, hey, whatever I do today, it's going to be to the glory of God. And verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. You know, some people seem like they get ahead, and some people, no matter what they do, they can't get ahead. And that's kind of brought out a little bit in this verse right here. The crown of the wise is their riches. They have a plan. I tell people, I've married a lot of people. And I tell them, I say, you're going to have to learn how to get along. It's not optional. You're going to learn how to forbear one another. Yeah. She's going to have bad days, you're going to have bad days. And you got to take that into consideration. But I said also, I said, make plans. Sit down. Decide where you want to be. Decide how you're going to get there. And work at it together and fulfill your dreams. Every couple can do that.
Yeah.
But they got to work together.
Right.
How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, not only that, it says two's better than one. And a threefold cord not easily broken. Get the Lord in your marriage, amen.
Right.
But I always counsel people before I marry them. I don't want them just to get married. I want them to understand the commitment of marriage. To put up with, I have to put up with Dottie, she got to put up with me. It ain't always pleasant, and when it ain't, she knows what to do, and I know what to do. I go to the barn, or she goes to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we try to keep our words few. Every now and then we get a little rash with them, but I try to also be complimentary. I say, honey, that was really good. Thank you. And she said, you better say it was good, for I'll put a dent on top of that head. No. But the crown of the wise is their riches. They're wise. They make plans. They set goals, and they work towards those goals. But the foolishness of fools is their folly. They just think somehow it's just going to work out.
Yeah.
And it don't work out. And then they try to find somebody to blame it on.
Yeah.
And the biggest fool in their foolishness is themselves. Verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, and praise God for the true witnesses. I got a track right here in my pocket. I witnessed to a couple this week, renewing my driver's license. They both saved. They talked about coming. I don't know if they will or not. I didn't even get his name, but I gave him one of the cards from the church. And he's in his 70s. I told him, you fit right in. Mm-hmm. But him and his wife, they talked about coming. I ran into Jenny again, and she lit up like a light bulb, but she just can't get off. I said, well, when you get off, I want you to come. And just try to witness. True witnesses deliver souls. Well, if a true witness delivers souls, what does a false witness do?
Yeah.
See what I mean? They make twofold more child of hell than himself, Jesus said in Matthew 23.
Yeah.
But a deceitful witness speaketh lies. You know what? I'd rather know that I'm a sinner and that I need to get saved than to think I'm saved and not be saved. I want you to get that.
Amen.
Yeah.
The worst way to go to hell is from a church pew.
Yes.
You got churches right now today that's got a man behind the pulpit that probably ain't even saved, much less called to God to preach.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use charity here. And they got confidence in that man, and whatever he says, they say, amen.
That's
the truth. Look, if old Brother Eddie don't say something that ain't in the Bible, don't amen.
That's right.
I'd appreciate it if he didn't. If I do, quote the scripture right straight out of the Word of God, say amen. Mm-hmm. That means it's true.
Yes.
Well, I want to be a true witness. And a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. You know, I really believe I do need to read that. I want you to get this. This is going on today in a lot of churches.
Yes, it is.
Jesus here, and I'm going to read several verses here. I'm in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. And he's speaking to the religious leaders of the day. And he says, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Well, we call them by name. He didn't mince his words there. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves. In other words, you said you ain't going. You know you ain't going. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of lying fools. He said, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses. All about the money.
Yeah.
And for pretense. They're just playing. For pretense, you make long prayer. You know, I like long prayer when it's real.
Yeah.
I don't like long prayer when all it is, you're reading it off a piece of paper and you ain't got your heart in it. Look, if you got your heart in it, I'll bear it.
Right. Amen.
But, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she says, and I pray for him.
Oh,
yeah, it looked like she prayed for him as she tore those papers up. And I wouldn't want her prayers. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to abstain from her prayers. And you know, she fits this category real good here about being a hypocrite. Well, anyway, ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive, notice this, the greater damnation. Woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land. Make one proselyte. They're like missionaries. There are a lot of missionaries that are good missionaries. But you got other missionaries that fit this category right here. They travel all over this world. They got sponsors. They got money and means. And they go all over this world. They can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You see, he's not mentioning his words here. He's not only telling them they're going to hell. He said, you're making children of hell. He said, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. They're just making, you know, false claims, just really trying to, you know, a good thing that fit right here would be the Muslims. They go up there and do that dance of the devil. They go to that dome of the rock. And you know, you better not mess with them and all that right there. Now look at verse 17. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing. But whosoever swear by the gift that's upon it, he's guilty. Ye fools and blind. And you know, he just goes right on and he sums it all up. And I want to get right there real quick. Verse 24, he said, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Yeah.
And he talked about falling in a ditch down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And he says, the blind lead the blind,
yeah.
They'll fall in a ditch. Well, the Lord here, he's just talking about a deceitful witness speak lies.
Right.
I'm glad I got a Bible. If I didn't have a Bible, I wouldn't know a truth from a lie. Verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your great reward. You know, Abraham had a shield and he had a place of refuge, and that place of refuge was in his God.
Yeah.
He didn't have to worry about nothing. As a matter of fact, the people that come up against Abraham was one that had to worry, because God defended Abraham. And he'll defend us. He'll keep us as the apple of his eye. And in him, we've got a refuge. Psalms 46, verse 1. God's our refuge and strength. Very present help in time of trouble. We got refuge. We got a place we can run to. We got a place of safety. I'm trying to think. I think it's Psalms 91. Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge
and my fortress,
my God. In Him will I trust. I'm glad we got a refuge.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and to depart from the snares of death. You know, it was the fear of the Lord that got me to Calvary, and that's where I found that fountain of life. The old song says there is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Jesus told a thirsty woman in John chapter 4, He said, if you knew who it was talking with you, you'd ask me to give you a drink, and I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. She said, give me that water. He said, go get your husband. See, the Lord wants us to confess, and then He'll give.
Yeah.
And she had to confess a few things. And after she did, buddy, she left the water pot and said, come see a man told me all things, not that to Christ. But the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, there's been a lot of men that went out and tried to cross the lines. His name tried to discover the fountain of life.
Yeah.
I'm glad I found it. Amen. Right. I found it in Jesus.
Thank you. Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this shall live forever. I got eternal life from that fountain of life. It's a fountain springing up. It's a fountain, praise God, don't never run dry. And not only that, it caused me to depart from the snares of death. Death had claim on me. They don't no more. Matter of fact, death's got to ask permission just so I can leave this world. You know, the two men died right there in Luke 16. One of them was buried, another one was carried by angels. I want to be carried by angels, amen.
That's right.
I'll take my ushers from God's angels, amen. Let them carry me to heaven. And the rest of them, I guess they'll take their part down here with the worms and the moles. A multitude, verse 28. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of the people is the destruction of the prince. You know, a king, his wealth is one of the things that the reason he is king. His wealth, he takes care of his people. He supplies all of their needs. And you notice the latter part of that. But in the want of the people is the destruction of the prince. They're depending on him to take care of them. They're trusting in him that they'll have everything they need. I'm glad we've got King of Kings that supplies all of our needs as his riches and glory. But a lot of kings have been dethroned because they couldn't provide for the people. One reason they couldn't provide for the people is they cared so much about themselves, they spent it all on themselves, and they didn't leave nothing to take care of the people.
Right.
Verse 29, he that's slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that's hasty of spirit exalteth folly. The Bible talks about a wise man studies the answer.
Right.
And he that's slow to wrath. Boy, I used to get mad. I mean, boy, you can see my face turn red. You couldn't get me mad. I mean, I'm not going to say it can't be done. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it to get me mad. There are a few things that still sets me off. But I will say this. It's controlled anger. It's not out of control. I would be out of control. Lord, they showed a video of a man picking up a policeman, body slamming him. That was me before I met Christ. I mean, I had no control in my anger. I only had out of control rage. I was a bull in a china house. I tore everything up. I break everything in the house. My wife said, I'm getting the kids and I'm leaving. I said, good, don't come back. And you know, just out of control anger. Just nothing. I couldn't blame them for leaving. Matter of fact, I was glad they left. I didn't want them to get hurt. I was just out of control. But I'm glad, praise God. He that's slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that's hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I'm going to stop here on verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. I won't even comment on that verse, but we'll We'll stop on verse number 30. Let me put a little dash right there. That was a good lesson this morning. A lot of good scripture.